You're listening to the Jackie Price Show on Blog Talk Radio, Buffalo.
Jackie, and I'd like to welcome you to the show tonight, and thank you so much for tuning in. I am so happy to be back on air with you after my 10-month hiatus. I had to take time off to figure out what I was going to do after that fiasco at the radio station I was on in Brooklyn. In a nutshell, I only did 2 shows there, because there were just a lot of technical problems there with the equipment. And during my phone interviews, you know, me and the guests were like, are you there? Can you hear me? You know, can you hear me? You know, it was just crazy. So the interviews got all mixed up. When I spoke to the owner about the problem, he basically told me to go screw myself. I asked him to look into it, if he would, you know, repair the equipment. And he told me he only provided an avenue for me to be on the air, and that he wasn't going to have the equipment checked or repaired, take it or leave it. So I was like, wow, okay. So I bounced. And I have to tell you, that setback really threw me for a loop. It was totally unexpected and extremely disappointing. I have a small team, and we really prepared for that. We were so excited. It's like, I'm going to be doing my show from New York, albeit it was Brooklyn, but it's still New York, but it didn't work out. But as you can see, we have regrouped, and I'm now broadcasting on Blog Talk Radio. I'm here talking to you from the comfort of my home studio in downtown Buffalo, and I'm loving it. Very nice. Yeah, I should have done this a long time ago. I would have saved myself a lot of frustration and you know how it is. Well, anyway, live and learn. When you get the chance, check out my website at jackieprice.com and my Facebook page. Now, you'll find me on Facebook under Jackie Price on Blog Talk Radio. And Jackie is spelled J-A-K-K-I. Okay, let me tell you a little bit about our guest tonight. Irritated Jeannie. He's a very controversial figure, and I do love controversy. He's actually on a watch list of the Southern Poverty Law Center. Let me give you a little background about the Southern Poverty Law Center. This organization was started in 1971 by 2 civil rights attorneys, Morris Dees and Joseph Levine Jr. Okay. They're internationally known for tracking and exposing the activities of hate groups. Now, their center is based in Montgomery, Alabama, and they have offices in Atlanta, New Orleans, Florida, Jackson, Mississippi. The Southern Poverty Law Center not only monitors hate groups and extremists throughout the United States, they expose their activities to law enforcement, to the media, and to the public. Now, they have an intelligence report that they publish their findings on, and they have a hate watch blog, and they claim to have crippled some of the country's most notorious hate groups by suing them for murders and other violent acts committed by their members. Now, according to their website, there are 939 known hate groups operating across the country, including neo-Nazis, Klansmen, white nationalists, neo-Confederates, racist skinheads, and black separatists. Now, that's where my guest comes in. Listen to this news clip.
They said it's wartime, so welcome to the war front.
Ayo Kamathi, or as he calls himself, the irritated genie, is still at it. Still on the internet condemning whites, gays, Jews, Asians, anyone who doesn't measure up to his black nationalist views.
That's how we gonna put a foot in this cracker's ass.
And he is still an employee of the Department of Homeland Security, 3 months after the agency publicly acknowledged his website calling for widespread racial violence. He declined our request for an interview, but on YouTube even he seemed surprised he was not let go as soon as his employers found out.
I have to always remind myself, they know who you are, they know what you're doing. Don't forget that.
He's not the only one wondering how he's kept his $115,000 a year job.
This is a guy who runs a website that calls for the mass murder of whites and for war on the horizon.
The Southern Poverty Law Center has accused Kamathi of hate speech, and officials there are baffled that he remains on the federal payroll. He's been on administrative leave since August, but that just means he's collected nearly $38,000 for doing nothing.
The fact of the matter is that his views are the kind that the Department of Homeland Security should be tracking. They should not be employing him or paying him.
The department says little about the matter, confirming only that he remains an employee of Immigration and Customs Enforcement, or ICE, and noting ICE does not condone any type of hateful rhetoric or advocacy of violence. Accusations of misconduct are investigated thoroughly, and if substantiated, appropriate action is taken. Before he was put on leave, Kamathi was less diplomatic, saying he works for the devil, but oddly adding,
it was like a fun job because I'm not just going there pushing paper. I'm going there having to sit down and say, okay, how do I help these people that need to be helped?
We called it a fun job. Some government watchdog groups say, look, firing a federal employee is just complicated and it takes time. Kamathi has suggested maybe he's still employed because the feds want to keep an eye on him. But Aaron, considering how routinely he savages people and promotes violence, taking on everyone from Trayvon Martin's parents to President Obama, it's really hard to imagine how Homeland Security could not be keeping an eye on him.
That news clip was about Ayo Kamathi, also known as Irritated Genie. He's no longer employed with the Department of Homeland Security. He was officially let go about a year and a half ago after being placed on paid administrative leave. His critics accused him of being a racist, instigating a race war, and running an anti-white, anti-gay website called War on the Horizon. Some of his black critics even accused him of being an agent for the government. However, his many supporters say his lectures are enlightening, he speaks the truth, and empowers his people. Well, you can make your own decision, because coming up next, the one and only Irritated Genie will be speaking to us by phone, and he'll be taking your calls. I'll be right back. You're listening to The Jackie Price Show on Blog Talk Radio.
We'll be right back. Create your future and start a career in radio and television broadcasting. The Connecticut School of Broadcasting is the nation's oldest and largest group of broadcasting schools. Their graduates have gone on to work at major television networks and radio stations like Clear Channel, ESPN, CNN, CBS Radio, Fox, MTV, and Sirius Radio. They have 12 campuses spanning the East Coast. Contact them today. In a few months, you could be working as a broadcasting professional at a radio station or television studio. Call the Connecticut School of Broadcasting today at 1-800-TV-RADIO.
You're listening to The Jackie Price Show on Blog Talk Radio, Buffalo.
Welcome back. You're listening to the Jackie Price Show on Blog Talk Radio. And it's time for BTR AccuWeather. The current temperature here in Buffalo is 65 degrees. And see, it's partly to mostly cloudy. A stray shower or thunderstorm is possible. Tomorrow, partly cloudy skies with a high near 75 degrees. Okay. I'm back, and I'm not alone. Hello, Irritated Janie. How are you?
Fantastic. How are you doing?
I'm doing okay. I'm so glad to be speaking to you. I'd like to welcome you to the show tonight. Now, I guess the last time we spoke was almost about a year ago, and I see that you and your wife are still going strong, delivering information that's helping to prepare our people for racial independence and survival. For those listening who are not familiar with War on the Horizon, tell us what your organization stands for.
Back in 2009, I left an organization I had been in for about 15 years doing race work, and I started my own organization called War on the Horizon with the help of a number of people. My wife, who wasn't my wife at the time, she was integral in that process. In fact, I wouldn't have been able to do it without her. And basically, at that time, I came to the personal conclusion that the 21st century was a make-or-break period for African survival, and that, that there was an international war of genocide, meaning an extermination campaign by whites, in general, whites and Arabs in specific, some Asiatics and others around the world in general, to kill black people. And that if we did not get our racial affairs together internationally and work to unify and organize sufficiently to defend the interests of African people, that we would actually face extermination and genocide. So I decided to start an organization that would identify in very clear and real terms the threats that black people were facing, that would document them in such a way that any black person who had half of a brain could pay attention and understand what was going on, and if they had the courage, they would understand what they could do to help our race survive. So and the original intent was to say, hey, say the things that we know that we're going to say, and I didn't really know what the physical consequences, what it was going to be, because I knew that the things that I would be sharing with people were things that the whites, Arabs, and others would not be very favorable towards. But I did it anyway. And, you know, once we did that and started showing information and stuff, people started to see it, we've just been doing that same thing ever since.
Mm-hmm. You've been involved in race work for a long time. Have you ever gotten discouraged and felt like giving up?
No, my mind doesn't work like that. Have I been discouraged? Absolutely. I've been discouraged in terms of wanting to move faster, wanting to see more progress for our people. But in terms of giving up, I don't know what that would mean, because it's all I've ever done in my adult life. So I'm 41 now. I wouldn't really know what to do in terms of living and existing if I wasn't fighting for my race. I don't have another paradigm under which to exist or live. So that's not really a consideration in my mind. But it does get discouraged sometimes, yeah.
Well, yeah, I can understand that. We have quite a few people listening. I'm going to see if anyone has a question for you, okay? I don't want to, you know, ignore anyone. So people could just be listening, but I want to see if anyone has a question for you, okay?
Sure.
754 caller, do you have a question for Irritated Jeannie, or are you just listening? Okay, they're just listening. Okay. All right. Area code 443, do you have a question for Irritated Jeannie, or you're just listening? All right, just listening. Area code 916, do you have a question for the Irritated Jeannie? You're just listening. Thank you so much. 214, you're in the air with the Irritated Jeannie, or are you just listening? All right, thank you for listening. Area code 510, you're in the air with the Irritated Jeannie. Do you have a question, or are you just listening?
Just listening.
All right, thank you so much. Area code 419, do you have a question for the Irritated Jeannie, or are you just listening? All right, thank you for listening. Area code 843, do you have a question for Irritated Jeannie, or you're just listening? Thank you for listening. Irritated Jeannie, what's the background on your name? Why do you call yourself a genie instead of a king or a ruler?
The Irritated Jeannie is the title of a book that is about the Haitian Revolution, and the Haitian Revolution is the most successful revolution in the history of the world, the only time in the history of documented history when a group has been kidnapped and taken to another distant land and has successfully waged war and overthrown their oppressors and become independent. It's never happened. And the people in Haiti said it was the angry spirit, or what they call the Irritated Jeannie, the spirit of the Irritated Jeannie, that help them fight and resist white tyranny. So that's the title that I have.
You started the Straight Black Pride Movement. Tell us what the movement's all about.
Yes, we have actually with a group of people. Essentially, with all of the different threats to African survival, all of that we see with the church bombings, we see the murder at the church, we see the police killings, we see the mass incarceration, the promotion of homosexuality, the legalization of gay marriage. We see all of these things that are destroying black families and black life and black economic well-being around the world. And so a group of people got together and said, you know what, we're not able to come together on our differences because our differences are just too many and too extensive, and the damage is done. However, they said what we can do is we can come together on what we have in common. And so we had long discussions, and this was a group from, like I said, from around the world, different organizations. And we said, what are the things that we have in common? And we came up with three things that we had in common.
Mm-hmm.
One, that no matter where you go in the world, for the most part, when you start talking to black people, they believe a man should be with a woman. They're not interested in homosexuality, pedophilia, bestiality. We find these things reprehensible. And sane black people are just completely against these things.
Mm-hmm.
Number two, the blackness. That we really, most of our people still believe that a black man should be with a black woman, and that is the ideal set of circumstances to produce a family because it's the only way we can produce black people. And then thirdly, that we should have pride and some dignity in who we are. We should spend our money with each other. We should have our own culture. We should respect our history and our ancestors and live to some degree in the way that they set and laid down for us. So with that understanding, we said, let's put together a movement that can have mass appeal to black people around the world, and we'll call it the Straight Black Pride Movement, which just simply says, listen, We are willing to work together for economic, social, political upliftment of black people, no matter where you are in the world, as long as you got three things. If you're straight, you're not with none of this homosexual stuff or none of this pedophile stuff. If you're black, you got a black mother and a father, and you have pride in who you are as a race, then we're saying let's work together and do something to better our condition as a race of people.
Mm-hmm. The phone lines are open, 657-383-1657. 657-383-1657. If you have a question or a comment for Irritated Jeannie, please give us a call. Let me see if we have someone on the line here. Area code 347, are you just listening, or would you like to ask Irritated Jeannie a question? Okay. 347, do you have a question for Irritated Jeannie, or are you just listening?
Oh, I have a question.
Okay.
All right, this is this is Corey from Brooklyn. You know, very familiar with Irritated Jeannie. I just wanted him to, could you expand on the need for the different regions of the Black Pride movement? Why is it necessary for us to come together and stay together? Because there's so many distractions out there. That's my question.
Absolutely. Excellent question. One of the reasons it's so important is that one of the things that whites have done to make it so difficult for black people to organize and progress is that they have fed us so many different lines of thinking that it's easier for us to combat and fight each other than it is for us to unify and do anything with any longevity and any value. So, for instance, religion.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not talking anybody's religion, because in the straight black pride movement, we believe whatever religion you come in the door with, you walk out with. We're not trying to affect anyone's religion. But when we talk about religion, if religion comes up on the table, which is why we say in the straight black pride movement, we do not discuss religion or politics. In general, though, when black people come together and you have, let's say you have a Christian, a Muslim, and a Jewish brother, and they're all brothers and sisters, in general, we can eat similar foods. We want the similar things for our children. We like similar music. But what happens is, the minute we identify ourselves as different religion, now all of a sudden we can't be friends and we can't be family anymore.
Right.
So what we realize is that we have to create something that says, listen, we got certain rules. We're not discussing religion. We're not discussing politics. Whatever you vote, whatever party you are, we're not in the internet. What we're saying is we have to bind together on the things that are simple, that we already agree on, and that we need to protect, because those few things are under siege. And so we said, look, when we talked to black people in Africa and we said straight black pride, they loved it. And they also produce food, and they produce other goods and services that black people in America could benefit from. When we talk to black people in New York and D.C. and every city we go to, they agree they don't like their children being taught this weird homosexual stuff in schools. They agree that we need to spend our money with each other, and we have goods and services, and some of us have skills that will be very beneficial to the African continent. So what we're saying is, look, African people all around the world have access to skills and abilities that if we would connect, put aside those things that the Europeans, Arabs, and other invaders have given us to separate us, and just focus on the fact that we are black, we're under siege from other races, and we have the right to protect our own interests and continue to go forward into the future of the race, we can not only have chapters all around this country when we launch, we're launching in August, but we also can have chapters all around the world. Because now we are focused on the things we have in common. We want our sons to marry our daughters. We want healthy black families. We want our women to have husbands to be there to protect them. Men in the community who won't allow police to come and brutalize children, who won't allow criminals to come and brutalize children or women. And we want to have a community where we take care of one another, where we have our own hospitals and communities. But the only way we can do that is, like the brother said, take each of the different areas, find out what it is we agree on, which is, in our opinion, we found that thing, straight black pride, and now organize around economic, social, political development around that construct.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
And if I could say one more thing, the reason it's so important, and if you look at the way this thing is structured, if we're looking at the assaults that black people are facing, the primary assault worldwide, because it's the death knell in the coffin of African people, is the white sex assault, pedophilia, homosexuality. It absolutely destroys families. Well, when we say in the first word of this movement, straight, well, now the beautiful thing is it doesn't matter if you're Christian, Muslim, you don't have to stop doing what you're doing. But you're saying I'm straight, which means just by saying I'm straight and doing it definitively, being part of a movement, you are now combating this other agenda to turn our people out. The second thing, they're trying to get our people to date outside of our race and for black men not to see the beauty and the value in the goddess, I said, in the black woman, our natural mate that God gave us. And they're trying to convince our women, because of our miserable condition as men, that we're not valued, that we don't love them. So when we come with the second tier saying black, that's right in the center, and we define that as saying you got to have a black mother and black father, what it says is there is now value in dating within your race, because you can't be part of this movement if you're going to date outside your race, because we look at that as doing harm to the race. And then the last one is pride. They're pushing all kind of degeneracy on us through the hip-hop music, through pornography. Well, guess what? We spend our money, billions of dollars, outside of our community. If we have pride, none of those things, you know, millions, actually billions of dollars in skin lightening cream that our beautiful sisters are buying, and brothers too, but mostly sisters, to lighten up their beautiful jet black gorgeous skin. We're saying, look, we need to produce products that make your skin darker and shine even better, because our complexions are brilliant and beautiful, and it can help us economically, and it helps us feel better about ourselves as well. So these three things, even though it's a pro-movement, it talks about who we are, it's not an anti-movement, just by the fact that we define ourselves as being straight, black, and proud, it pushes back against the major threats of genocide that whites are pushing on our people all around the world.
Did you have anything else to ask?
No, that was it. I just wanted him to expound, because, you know, it's very important that the whole message gets put out there, because it's only going to be, we don't need millions of people, but if we have, mm-hmm. you know, thousands that are focused on this one goal, we'll make mm-hmm. it, you know, across the world, because we need that distribution network.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Yes. Unity, yes. Well, thank you so much for calling, and thank you for listening.
Thank you.
Thank you, my brother.
We have another caller here. Are you? Do you have a question for Irritated Genie, or are you just listening? Okay, they're just listening. Area code 202. Do you have a question for Irritated Genie, or are you just listening? Are you just listening? Thank you for calling, or thank you for listening. Area code 651. Do you have a question, or you're just listening? Right, thank you for listening. Right, Brother Genie, I have some statements I want to make, and if I'm incorrect, please correct me, and then the question will come, okay?
All right.
Marcus Garvey encouraged African people around the world to be proud of their race and to see beauty in their own kind. Now, a central idea to Garveyism was that African people in every part of the world were one people and would never advance if they did not put aside their cultural and ethnic differences. Mr. Garvey was a supporter of racial separation, but he made it clear that he held no hostility towards whites, and he believed in equality of all human beings. Is Marcus Garvey's original goal your new purpose?
I would say Brother Garvey, his goals, and I would say it this way, to be very, very respectful to the great Marcus Garvey.
Yes.
We, in honor of the great work that he did, we feel that we are trying to build the modern-day version of the great movement that he created, which was the UNIA, the Universal Negro Improvement Association,
mm-hmm.
which boasted over 5 million membership across the world at a time in the early 1900s with no internet, no communications, the likes of which we have today, but he was able to make that happen. So we believe that if we can take the same kind of platform he had and now expand that in the modern market. That's why we added the straight part, because these are the things that are relevant to our people in today's climate. We believe that we can actually excite our people around the idea of racial upliftment and actually try to do similar things that he did. And we have a little bit of advantages, because when he was trying to get his ships going back and forth across the seas to do trade with one another, we have mm-hmm. more people who are in that field today who know how those businesses work that we can connect. We just have to be able to connect the people and get us working together. We have some advantages of technology that he didn't have. If we can excite our people about racial uplift, then absolutely mm-hmm. we believe that we can make Brother Garvey very proud.
Mm-hmm. Now, you truly believe we as black people are in a crisis situation because we're under European assault and European psychological warfare. Explain to us what you mean by that.
If you turn on the television and your objective is to watch something that makes you as a black woman feel it's very likely that I'm going to find a strong, decent black man to be a husband and to produce a family with, you're going to turn it on today, and 20 years from now, you'll still be waiting for that to happen. It's not going to happen. Everything, if you turn on the radio and your objective is to hear a program that says there are good black men out here waiting to meet a good black woman to be great husbands and family members and produce children, so forth and what have you, you're not going to get that. So if you listen to a program like this, you can get it, but it's very seldom that you will get that. So what we're saying is that through every means of presenting information to our people, whether it's educational system, television, radio, any newspapers, any other propaganda, through the prison system, through every possible means, whites are convincing black people that we should die, whether it's that we should date outside of our race, that we should be participating in homosexuality, which means we won't produce children and we'll be psychologically damaged, whether it's mm-hmm. that our family structures can't work, whether it's promoting drugs and alcohol use in our community, whether it's music that promotes abuse and murder and violence towards one another. It's a psychological system of torture, the likes of which the world has never really seen, that black people are on from the moment that we're born on this planet, and that can only be overcome with racial solidarity and presenting different ideas to our people that we can unify, and demonstration of what that unification looks like and development looks like.
Mm-hmm. Okay, well, we're going to take a break now. More with Irritated Jeannie when we return. You're listening to The Jackie Price Show on Blog Talk Radio.
Get a strong black organization, right? Invariably, some black person wants to invite somebody white in. Soon as the white folks come in, the strongest of the black people are like, I'm not staying here. I didn't come here for this. I wanted to work for black. They leave. Now you only got three brothers and sisters and Negroes and white folks. The white folks end up invariably after 2 months, a year or so, running the organization. Now your black organization is defunct by way of what? Integration.
Thank you. Create your future and start a career in radio and television broadcasting. The Connecticut School of Broadcasting is the nation's oldest and largest group of broadcasting schools. Their graduates have gone on to work at major television networks and radio stations like Clear Channel, ESPN, CNN, CBS Radio, Fox, MTV, and Sirius Radio. They have 12 campuses spanning the East Coast. Contact them today. In a few months, you could be working as a broadcasting professional at a radio station or television studio. Call the Connecticut School of Broadcasting today at 1-800-TV-RADIO.
Here we are again. You're listening to The Jackie Price Show on Blog Talk Radio, Buffalo.
Welcome back. You're listening to The Jackie Price Show on Blog Talk Radio. And my guest tonight is Irritated Jeannie, and the phone lines are open, 657-383-1657, 657-383-1657. Do you agree with the Irritated Jeannie or disagree? Please give us a call and let us know what you're thinking. There's a few more calls. Let me see if anyone has a question for you, Irritated Jeannie. Area code 773, do you have a question or you're just listening?
Yeah, I'm just listening. I'm a fan of Irritated Jeannie this Chi-Town, and I just called in and see what's going on. That's about it.
Okay, well, thank you for listening. I appreciate that.
All right, y'all have a good evening, man.
Yeah.
All right, appreciate you, brother Chi-Town.
Area code 757. Do you have a question for Irritated Jeannie?
Hello?
Hi.
Hi. I'm on the line. Okay. Just really a question. Just stating that I absolutely agree with everything that he is stating. I never believed in same-sex anything, but when he presented it, it all just kind of clicked together like ABC, which is why I'm having a hard time understanding why. For black people especially, why it's so hard to actually put these fundamental concepts together. Even when it comes to, you know, businesses, a potential black business owner, I'm having a hard time going into this with this mindset, knowing that a lot of people may not be thinking the same thing that I'm thinking. So that's really all that I wanted to say, and I know he faced a lot of fight, particularly really not from white people, but actually from us. That's all I wanted to say.
Well, thank you so much for calling.
Can I ask you what kind of business you're going into, Cynthia?
More or less marketing for black-owned businesses. But, you know, any business must be fundamental, it must have a foundation of the proper values. You know, so it's kind of, you know, going to these different businesses you know, with the sales pitch and all, kind of trying to move this into there, you know, with what I'm thinking about the whole black man, black woman union, no business is going to be successful without that. For example, a lot of my potential clients are barber and beauty salons, and I noticed that within that industry, there are a lot of what we call trans, wannabe mm-hmm. women, et cetera. Mm-hmm. So it's like, you know, how am I going to get through this? And I'm trying to market a business, and you got these drag queens coming through the door, et cetera.
Now, let me ask you, are you working to market your own business, or are you helping other people market the businesses that they already have?
The latter.
Okay, so basically, the reason I'm asking is because one of the big issues we've had over the years with War on the Horizon, and even with Straight Black Pride, but more specifically War on the Horizon, that was something I was doing myself. The one skill I don't really have is marketing. And we've always looked for someone that could help us increase our sales and exposure, which would increase sales, and we'd be willing to share, you know, the pay to do that, but we haven't found anybody that really has been effective in knowing how to do that with the kind of message that we're presenting, even though now I think it's a prime time for our message with the legalization of homosexuality. And, you know, is this something that you do you do just only on the ground businesses, or could you help her?
No, it's all type of it's all type of businesses, really. A lot of business now with the current economic trends are going online, and that's just the reality we have to, you know, face. So really, it's all types of businesses, and you know, a lot of marketing is psychological. And that's one thing that a lot of black marketers fail at, actually pulling at the psychological strings of the people that they're trying to market to. For example, I've done studies, historical studies. If you ever noticed back in the day, whenever you see in picture advertising stuff, you would always see black men and black women together in the pictures. Right. And now you don't even really see that anymore. You know, and that's something, you know, that we're kind of working on, especially for the youth, you know. Even if it is a simple advertisement for a barbershop or something, you know, show the black man and a woman in a picture together.
Exactly.
They're not on some, you know, feminine looking and dyke butch looking, you know, mess. And that's just one thing that we're really trying to work on. A psychological, because that's one thing our enemies are really good at, psychological marketing. And that's one thing that we've been studying.
If you could send us an email at liberation@waronthehorizon.com. And you can go to our waronthehorizon.com website. You can get that email address, because we may be interested in seeing if we could possibly work together, because we want to increase exposure to the Straight Black Pride movement, as well as for us, War on the Horizon and the products we have. And we would appreciate working with somebody that can help us do that. So, you know, maybe we'll talk offline.
That's great. You know, we have a lot of clients. Would you be interested in having the book, your book, the book that you have written, being sold in different businesses throughout the country? That's something that we can definitely, you know, work on. They sell everything
Absolutely.
Else, sodas, chips, candy, you know. There's nothing to have a book, a good book stand in there, you know, clients can read it while they're getting their hair done, et cetera. So that's something that we'll definitely, I'll definitely reach out to you. And I've actually spoke with you and called in on your show several times. You've got a lot of things going on. I'm in a custody battle with two same-sex offenders. So, you know, I've been battling this. And now with this legalization, they have a lot of leverage that I don't. So I've been doing that a lot, you know, battling different things. So I haven't really been on the scene as much as I used to. But I'll definitely, you know, reach out to you.
Absolutely. Appreciate the call, sister.
All right. You take care of me.
All right.
And thank you so much for calling. It's great. We made a networking connection. It's very nice.
Absolutely.
Irritated Jeannie, what do you say to your critics who accuse you of being a racist towards whites and bashing homosexuals and promoting a race war?
First, I would say I'm not promoting a race war. Whites have waged a race war against us. I'm simply telling our people that we need to defend ourselves in this race war so there's not a racial slaughter.
Mm-hmm.
Those that say I don't like white folks, I say you're correct. I think the last 500 years gives me pretty good rationale that I'm a halfway intelligent person if I don't like those individuals that's trying to commit genocide against us. And as an African, if I believe, I mean, I've seen you before, beautiful sister. If I was so insane that I thought that I should be with a male over a beautiful sister like you, then something wrong with me. So if people are saying that I'm anti-gay and anti-homo, they're absolutely correct. I'm anti any behavior that doesn't help the black family, any behavior that leaves more black women without husbands, and without that family unit that's so desperately needed for us to be healthy and thriving. And I'm proud of the fact that I'm against the things that are hurting African people.
You know, some of me and my girlfriends were saying that, well, I'm divorced, but I'd like to get married again. And we're saying, well, a lot of these guys are going to be getting married before we do. So that's a fact. So.
Yeah,
let me go back to the phone lines here and see. We have a call. Area code 916. Do you have a question for Irritated Jeannie, or are you just listening?
I have one question. First of all, how you doing? And what's up, Irritated Jeannie?
Fantastic.
Okay. You know, I was watching this thing on YouTube, right? I'm just going to make it very short. There's a video. A lady, her son got kidnapped from Ohio. It's called When Is Johnny Coming Home? Stuff like that. When he got kidnapped, right, that boy was used as what called for sex, right? And then they say he's traveling all places, like from Texas even to California, which place the school that I went to was one of those, it's called, what's the school called in San Jose? Somewhere like, I forgot the school, somewhere in San Jose. What I was trying to say that when these people, this gay community, LGBT, whatever their name is, they were talking about, you know, how like they're going to take over the, what do you call it, they're going to take over something. I mean, there's a video. They're basically talking they're going to take over. So when I thought to myself, I was like, what do they mean by that? You know, I started thinking, you know what? These people, basically, they had an agenda from the beginning, and the way they capitalized it to make the dream come true, their dream, actually, to make it come true, I feel like they blackmailed certain governors, certain, you know, certain people to get what they want in the position to pass the law. You understand what I'm saying? So there's a video I watched that just struck me so deep that these people have been starting from the beginning. And there's one guy, right? There's one guy. He looks kind of insane, but he said the one who kidnapped little Johnny when he's coming back home. He said that his father, he was in it, you know, when he kidnapped him. That he's telling everything, the whole secret, the whole thing. So, and they would call the police is trying to say he's insane. This and this and that. It's called the place happened in Boys Town. I think it's called Boys Town. He used to work for them, you know, when the dude got arrested, the black guy, you know, everybody, right. You know, so everybody's getting arrested, they blame the black guy. So as you can see, everything becomes, they don't want to put the spotlight on the black guy. Whenever there's something to blame, they're going to try to point it on the black guy. Just how like they used Obama. What I'm saying, what I'm trying to say is this, is that these people that have been in agenda from the beginning, they accomplish a thing. Like now, they're trying to, you know, use the little kids to, you know, use them. Basically, nothing but gay things. They're just trying to bless people, come like them, that behavior. That is crazy, okay?
Yeah, that's absolutely. What we're looking at is, thanks for that call, brother. Excellent point. What we're looking at is that most people do not know that the homosexual agenda has never been about adults being involved in sexual degeneracy. It is adults involved in sexual degeneracy, but that has never been the aim, the focus, or the goal. The goal of the homosexuals from the beginning, and this is all documented, we documented in video format with proof positive, with actual the homosexuals who were creating the homosexual movement stating definitively that their objective was to have sex with children and to create an environment where it was acceptable to have sex with animals, children, relatives, and what have you, but particularly that their primary goal was to open up the society for open sexuality with children. Now, yes, there have been a few black individuals, like particularly the one he's talking about that was head of Boys Town and was organizing for all the whites around the country. You know, even if, I don't know if people remember back in the 80s when Reagan was in office, they actually had it in the Washington Post where there was a child boy sex ring in the White House. I mean, this was in the Washington Post. It was not something that we're making up. And basically, this whole homosexual movement has been designed to go after children from the beginning. However, now that the objective of genocide, which they call eugenics, the science of racial genocide, now that the target of depopulating African people is primary, it is now the combining of the objective of killing black people and the objective of the homosexuals to go after children, these two things merging to really collapse on black culture all at once right now. So we need to understand that by the legalization of homosexuality, what we're looking at is not just homosexuality of gay marriage. It is the opening of the way for open, legal pedophilia and sexual assault of black children in the black community. And one of the ways they're going to do that, they're going to start intensifying the criminalization of discipline of children. In other words, a father that whips his son, a mother that disciplines her son or daughter,
is going to be looked at as criminal, more so than they are now, in which case they're going to take your children from you and put them into the foster care system and run them through that system, which is really a child sex ring. So the whole foster care system, that whole child services system is a pedophile institute, really a pedophile a manufacturing plant, a homosexual manufacturing plant with a bunch of pedophiles who, once they run the children through that system and get them sexualized or destroyed, then put them back out into society. So this is why it's so important for us to start talking about family, structured family, getting the drugs and the alcohol and the confusion and the animosity out of our relationships to get sober and start organizing in our defense, because we are really under assault at this time.
Did you have anything else to ask, caller?
Oh, no, that's it.
Okay, well, thank you for calling.
Thank you for calling.
You know, there's been a long rumor going around for a long time, and some people think that you're an agent for the government. And I guess this talk came about because, you know, you used to work for the Department of Homeland Security. You know, there could be some people listening who don't know about that story. I mean, I did play a clip earlier, but just quickly, what was your position there and what was your job description, Irritated Genie?
Yeah, let me just tell real briefly what happened. I worked, I got out of college in 1995, Hampton University. I went to work, couldn't find a job, got a job, live in D.C., worked for federal government, doing government contracts, basically helping people get contracting work with the federal government. Left to go and do my book about homosexuality and the international war against black people in 2003. I retired and said, hey, I'm going to go live on my own. I had never heard of bootlegging. I didn't know, that, you know, when I was doing these videos that people would steal them. So they were stealing the work, and I wasn't making any money. And so for 6 years, I just struggled and made it, but I ended up having to go back and get a job. So the only real career I ever had was in government contracting. So I went back to government contracting, and I worked for Immigration Customs Enforcement, which is the old INS, which is now falls under DHS, Department of Homeland Security, and I was a small business specialist. I helped folks, black folks, get contracts with the federal government. And but then some black people who I told where I worked, because you don't never tell anybody you're doing this kind of work, you never tell anybody where you work. But I actually told some folks, just, you know, hey, look, you know, that's where I work and everything like that. And they actually got upset and went out and started broadcasting to everybody where I worked and told everybody to call my job. So they called and told the white folks what I was doing. So I started getting trouble from the job. And then the people out in the street were like, why are you working for the government and everything like that? And so then they thinking it was like became a big deal. But in short, it makes no sense for anybody to question whether or not I'm an agent, considering the fact I would say 99% of black people don't take half the risk of sharing the kind of information for black people that I do. So if anybody's an agent, it would be somebody else other than myself, because I'm the one taking all the risks.
And plus, many black people who live in that area work for some type of government job, right?
I mean, if you don't have a government job or if you don't work for a company that works for the government in this area, you're probably not employed. You know, that's what D.C. is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I thought that was kind of, I guess it's funny looking back now, but some of your former coworkers at DHS, they said that they had serious concerns about you. That everybody in the office was afraid of you. And they said that people were really concerned that you would come in one day with a gun and go postal. And I asked you this before when we talked. I was like, what were you doing for these people to think that? But you said it was like one particular woman, and right? It was like one
woman. She's dead now, and I'm glad she's dead. I know that sounds horrible, but this is the
moment. Oh, she died.
Yeah, she was, when I say racist, I'm not talking about like the ones that smile on your face. This was the most grotesquely redneck, dirty, West Virginia, racist, white individual you can possibly meet. And basically what happened when she found out, when the black folks told everybody to call the job and tell everybody what I was doing, the white folks found out. So the Negroes in the job, because I was giving all the help and the black people get all the contract work and all the money and taking the money from the big companies and giving it to the small companies, and it was my job, so it was all legal. The Uncle Toms got upset with me and put me under this racist. And, of course, you know, I'm a fighter, so I outmaneuvered her, and she got so mad, she went to the media to, because they couldn't do nothing with me on the job performance. So she just went to the media and made a big deal about it and kind of said the kind of things she wanted to say to dramatize it to try to make sure that I got fired. But she died anyway, so she had cancer, and it was terminal. And believe me, there's not a black person out there listening that if you had worked for her or ever had an experience with this individual that you would feel bad that she's gone. She mistreated black people so badly, the white folks didn't like her because she was that racist. So, you know, that's what that was.
Yes. Unfortunately, we do have to deal with people like that sometimes. So you basically lost your job because, you know, of your website and what you believe in and what you stand for. And we know most people would be afraid and stop what they were doing because of this. But there are those who say that you're a true black warrior because despite what's happened to you, you continue to help and teach your people. That's a compliment to you. What do you say about that?
I'm talking a little bit more about it now. The real reason that they were upset with me was not just because of what I was doing out here. That really wasn't the issue. The issue was that they were stealing all kind of money from black people.
Mm-hmm.
And I wasn't having it. You know, I'm not going to be in any position where black people are getting damaged and I don't fight. So I started causing them a lot of problems from the inside, and I was fighting against a lot of the corruption. And like I said, I turned hundreds of millions of dollars away from people who was getting money stuffed in their pockets to, you know, brothers and sisters of other small businesses so they can get a fair chance to do business, and that's why they got rid of me. So it was in addition to what I'm doing out here, but even in there, I was fighting for black people. So my thing that I tell black people, it doesn't – anywhere you are, you're supposed to be figuring out what you can do to, in the best way that you can, benefit your race. And it doesn't matter what the job is. I mean, we don't like police. But if a black person is a police officer, then we definitely expect that when those whites are trying to arrest or harass a black person, that you're going to step in and intervene and make sure that it doesn't happen if it's wrong. You know, you're supposed to use whatever position you have to help our people. And I think more of us have to get sophisticated and understand we're going to be in positions and working in a society. I mean, it's a reality. Most of us work for whites. But when we do, we don't have to work for their interests. We can have a job working in the interests of black people, even if we're working somewhere that's not necessarily designed to help black people.
Mm-hmm. Let me see if this caller wants to ask you anything. Hello, caller 916. Do you have a question for Irritated Jeannie, or are you just listening?
No, I already talked. Sorry about that. I already talked.
Oh, okay. Hello. Thank you.
Okay,
I didn't want to ignore anyone here. You have recorded many lectures, videos, and you have books available. How can people purchase them and contact you? Please give out your contact information.
Sure. If you want to get anything that you can get, any of our DVDs for direct download immediately, which means, you know, once you pay online, it'll be sent to you in an email, and you can download it immediately. You can go to waronthehorizon.net. Again, that's waronthehorizon.net. That's an online electronic store that only does electronic downloads, and you get them instantly. Once you pay for it, it comes directly to you, and you download it. And then it's yours for posterity. You keep it on your hard drive, keep it on your computer. Also, we have other products if you want some of the hard copy products or the electronic downloads or the books or the various things that we sell. You can go to waronthehorizon.com. And when you go there, go to our store, and you can see the different things that we sell there as well. Also, we want people to know in the next coming weeks, you can go to straightblackpride.com. It's not finished yet, but we're working on it now, where we're going to have our Straight Black Pride Movement website page. And that website basically tells about the international tour that we do, the Straight Black Pride tour to Africa we do in February, The convention that we have coming up in New York, the first international convention, August 22nd and 23rd in New York City for the Straight Black Pride Movement, different information about chapters.
I was just about to ask you about that. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah, so that's happening on the 23rd of August.
Oh, it's 22nd and 23rd. Let me share some of that information.
Sure.
We're having our first international convention of the Straight Black Pride Movement, August 22nd and August 23rd of 2015. On Saturday, August 22nd, we're going to be in Prospect Park in Brooklyn. And basically, it's just a day where we're going to be cooking out with our grills. We're going to have food. We're going to have games with children. We want everybody to dress and relax and be comfortable. Wear your Straight Black Pride shirt. So if you don't have them, you can buy your shirt when you get there. You know, we're expecting 500 to 1,000 people. You know, we're going to have a nice, large group of black people listening to music, playing games, playing cards, eating, children playing games. We're just going to have a lot of fun and be a black family. We're straight, black, and proud people, meaning all heterosexuals, all black, and all, you know, people that are proud of our culture. And we actually have a permit for that area, so anybody that doesn't fit into that category, you know, we can politely ask them to go to a different section of the park because we want an environment that's safe for children. So it's going to be a fun family day on that Saturday. Then on Sunday, we have an, our formal event where we want everybody to wear their African clothes and dress to impress. We're going to be in Harlem, New York at the National Black Theater.
Mm-hmm.
And we're going to have all our African clothes, and we're going to come out, and we're going to have, you know, music, and we're going to talk about what this movement is about. We're going to have products that we're selling. We're going to really, really try to do it up. Not try. We're going to do it up and show the international movement that we have going on, and it's going to be something people are going to enjoy. The thing on Saturday, August 22nd, is free. It's in the park. On the 23rd, it's $20 for adults, $5 for children, 5 to 17, and $4 for children. It's free for children 4 and under. You can go to the Warm Horizon website and you'll get all the information on the flyer and where the location is and things of that nature.
Wow, that sounds great. I can't believe it's, 9:30. Well, it's time for our final break. We'll be right back and more with the Irritated Genie. You're listening to the Jackie Price Show on Blog Talk Radio.
Of your mind. Create your future and start a career in radio and television broadcasting. The Connecticut School of Broadcasting is the nation's oldest and largest group of broadcasting schools. Their graduates have gone on to work at major television networks and radio stations like Clear Channel, ESPN, CNN, CBS Radio, Fox, MTV, and Sirius Radio. They have 12 campuses spanning the East Coast. Contact them today. In a few months, you could be working as a broadcasting professional at a radio station or television studio. Call the Connecticut School of Broadcasting today at 1-800-TV-RADIO.
Make your voice heard. Call Jackie at 657-383-1657. This is Blog Talk Radio, Buffalo.
Okay, welcome back. I'm Jackie Price on Blog Talk Radio, and my guest tonight is Irritated Jeannie, and the phone lines are open. 657-383-1657. Once again, 657-383-1657. Now, I'm going to talk about a lecture that you gave, I think it was about a year ago in Brooklyn, at the National Black Theater. It was on the homosexual agenda. And I think the first time that you did that, you gave that lecture, it created quite a stir in the black conscious community. Why do you feel homosexuals are assaulting the black community?
One of the things, you know, we talk about our enslavement. We talk about it from the sense of being kidnapped and forced to work without pay. We talk a little bit about the brutality and the rape. But we don't look at deeply into the deepest levels of the brutality and the insidious nature of European oppression that we suffer. One of the things that we tend to ignore far too often is the reality of the fact that one of the ugliest aspects of our enslavement was that homosexuality was in the core. Rape and sexual abuse was in the core of our enslavement here in the Western Hemisphere. So even though it's intensified now as a form of genocide because it prevents the man and woman from coming together and producing families, even as far back as slavery, beginning in the 1400s to 1500s, 1600s, when they were enslaving our ancestors and bringing us here, part of destroying the black family structure was the sodomizing and raping and sexual exploitation of boys and men, teenagers and men in the black community. And they've seen what that has done throughout the history of the world. When Europeans go into countries, part of their war military strategy is to sexually destroy and violate the males to make them feel like less than males, less than men. So now so much sexual damage has been done to our boys and our sons and our daughters that they have created predatory instincts within our own community that's been going on for hundreds of years, that started on sex farms and breeding farms where they force us to molest and rape our own daughters, sisters, mothers, what have you, cousins, and that's been going on for hundreds of years with this sexual abuse in our churches, in our homes, in our families, in our youth centers, and now it's being used as a targeted tool for destruction where the homosexuals are being put in positions of power in the black community, and anyone who is strong, has an African nationalist or race-first perspective is being removed, and a homosexual is being replaced to represent the interests of the race, and they don't represent the interests of anything but the genocide and the European agenda.
Mm-hmm. So what do you suggest as a solution to save the black community from this assault?
We really believe that an international movement called the Straight Black Pride Movement, where people say, you know what, I can participate in this because they're not asking me to change my religion. They're not asking me to say, as long as you're sane enough to know that a black man is supposed to have a black woman and a black woman is supposed to have a black man and raise a black family and that we're supposed to treat each other with some respect and that we're supposed to defend each other from harm and that we should support each other financially, it's a movement
that if our people gravitate to it en masse, people don't have to stop what they're doing now. If they're doing anything positive for our people, they continue to do it. They can just say they're doing it, and they can put it under the umbrella and say, hey, I'm part of the Straight Black Pride movement, and I do this, and it's good for black people, whether it's healthy food, no matter what it is. What that does is it puts our people, for the first time since Garvey's time, on the same wavelength around the world. And once we get on the same wavelength and focus on the same concepts and ideas, it will then become easy for us to begin to save ourselves from the condition that we're in.
You know, I've been seeing more and more black men wearing skirts and dresses. Now, I remember some time ago, the actor Omar Epps, he wore a leather skirt when he appeared on The View. And Will Smith's son, Jaden Smith, he seems to wear skirts and dresses on a regular basis. What's going on here? Is this fashion or degrading to our men?
This is part of the agenda. What the whites do is they spend millions of dollars and they take the homosexuals in our community or individuals who they can pay to participate in homosexual behavior to promote this to our children. So they take an individual like Will Smith who participates in this white sexual confusion with males, and then they get him and his wife, who are into this sexual degeneracy, to raise their children in sexual degeneracy. If you watch Will Smith, he's constantly mouth tongue kissing his son.
I know. I've seen that before.
Yes, yes. So what we have is literally in front of our face, even with people like Magic Johnson, who has his son walking out in skirts and full drag, and he's in full support of his son. They're making millionaires, and then they're taking these millionaires, particularly the ones that are homosexuals, putting them in front of our people, putting them in drag to get our young people to think that it's fashionable to be homosexuals, with the ultimate goal of destroying African people and killing our people, which, again, is why we say if we have a straight black pride movement, then we can say, no, Magic, we can't support you because you are supporting your son acting like a woman, and that's not straight, that ain't black, and it ain't proud. We can say, Will Smith, Jada Pinkett, you're putting your children out there. That looks to us like pedophilia. We are not in favor of that. We're straight, and straight people are not in favor of pedophilia and homosexuality. So if that is behavior unconducive to us, we're not going to see your movies. We're not supporting you. And we can do it in mass so that we have impact because we have a movement that makes it easy for us to stand our ground.
Let me check the phone lines again here. Area code 214, do you have a question for Irritated Jeannie, or are you just listening? Okay. Thank you for listening. In addition to men, particularly black men being feminized, there's a lot of black women who appear masculine. What's going on? Basically, I guess what you just said, I mean, like the opposite, right?
Right. With the sexual abuse, I would say that upwards of 75% of black women by the time they're 18-year-old will be sexually abused in the black community. I'm saying three out of four. That's what my estimates would give me to say at this time.
Mm-hmm.
So with that understanding, what's happening is our women are becoming so hate-filled and resentful towards men because of the sexual abuse, particularly black men who are the ones who are doing it, that they're looking for alternatives. And the Europeans are presenting the alternative of lesbianism. And now our sisters are becoming very predatory with this death style, particularly after The Color Purple was put out and this whole lesbian death style was presented to our women as part of a culture. It has become part of the culture now. So the sexual abuse is turning our women into females who don't want to be feminine because they don't want men to be attracted to them because they don't want to feel any more of the abuse they face from the sexual abuse they've had in the past.
Is black liberation and homosexuality compatible?
Absolutely not. In fact, I have not found one slave trader that I have researched that brought our ancestors over to the Americas that was not a homosexual and a pedophile. In other words, slavery
is homosexuality. Black liberation is fighting slavery, which by definition means fighting homosexuality. The homosexuals have been the most violent, racist, and brutal individuals towards African people in the history of the world. It just so happens that European culture is homosexual, so that those homosexuals are white. We just didn't know that they were homosexual. When we look up Christopher Columbus, we know he committed genocide against the Native Americans. We don't know that he was a homosexual pedophile. When we look at J. Edgar Hoover, we know that he destroyed the Black Power movement through the COINTEL program. We don't know that he was a homosexual pedophile. Once we understand that, we put those links together, we understand that the very core of slavery and racism is homosexuality. It's incompatible with Black liberation.
I'm going to ask you something about our children. Are Black children now in more danger? Now, when George Zimmerman murdered Trayvon Martin, did that kind of create an air in the white community that says, you know, Black kids are menacing, and if you feel threatened by them, you can shoot them? Basically, is that the end result of the Trayvon Martin case?
Yes, and I would say it this way. Whites have been working to create a race war. They're ready to exterminate us, and they're no longer patient. It's taken a longer time than they want, and they're ready to go now. And with the murder of Trayvon Martin by George Zimmerman, that terrorist George Zimmerman, the white so-called Jew, small hat George Zimmerman, it gave a license when he got off to whites to say, okay, it's okay now. We're giving privilege. Go ahead and murder the Black youth. And that's what the whites are doing. They're taking their cues from the society and from law enforcement to say it's good business to kill our children. And because we're not responding in the appropriate manner, it's going to intensify.
Irritated Jeannie, do you really believe a race war is coming? And are you advocating Black men, women, and even children to arm themselves in preparation for the coming race war?
I believe that we're already in the race war. We just don't want to admit it. So, yes, I believe it's coming, but I believe we're already in it. It's just the early phases of it. It's going to intensify over the few months. I really believe by August it's going to become very overt, at least a major strike in some city, probably by law enforcement, but it may be just local white citizens. I would predict law enforcement where they'll do something to a Black person in public. When the youth watch this Straight Outta Compton movie based off of what it's going to do, they're going to be very reactionary in their response. And I believe the whites are going to use that as a tool to go in and slaughter thousands of people in a city and see what the temperature is when they do that. I do advocate that Black people get trained, that they be legally armed, that they arm themselves and their children, their wives, and that our people begin to move closer and closer proximity with conscious, like-minded people. So that when you are armed, it's not just you, but your neighbor, your friends, and those next door and in your community are all armed in self-defense of our communities.
You know, I'm curious to know, have any African-American celebrities financially or publicly supported your cause?
No.
No. Okay. Wow, just about almost time for us to go. Before we do go, do you have any upcoming speaking engagements that you'd like to tell us about?
Yes. August 15th, we're going to be in Canada, in Toronto. So anybody in the Toronto area, be looking for us out there.
Well, you're up in my neck of the woods. Buffalo's a border town. Well, a couple hours away, but yeah.
We're going to be up there, so we hope we see you when we come. We're going to be, that's August 15th, Saturday, August 15th. And also, again, the big one, August 22nd and August 23rd, we're going to be having our first international convention of Straight Black Pride Movement. We want people to come to New York City and enjoy yourself for a fantastic weekend. Also want to let people know the week of August, let me just tell you real quickly, I'm sorry, I think it's August 7th, 8th, and 9th.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to be doing August 6th, 7th, and 8th
at the National Press Club in Washington, D.C. There's going to be an entire conference, and from what I understand, I'm going to be speaking on Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. We're going to be doing our lecture, I'm Conscious Now What, which talks about now that I'm conscious of what we're facing as black people, you know, how do I go about my daily life without going crazy, realizing what we're facing. I'm also going to be doing Black Wives Matter. We believe that we need to have a movement. We actually have a movement that we started to encourage black men to marry black women and produce families. So we pushing this thing to make it clear that we really need our women and that black wives matter. And so we're going to do a lecture on that as well. And then we're going to do one on how to protect the black world family in the 21st century, which is the Straight Black Pride Movement. So it's going to be a whole convention. It's going to be August 6th, 7th, and 8th. I forget the name of the convention right now, but people can stay tuned for that. Look on our website, and we will be there August 6th, 7th, and 8th for that at the National Press Club in Washington, D.C.
You're a busy man.
Yes.
Yes, you are. Irritated Jeannie, I just want to thank you so much for coming on the show. As always, I really enjoyed speaking with you. Give my love to your beautiful family. I see, I've seen that your daughter is active. You're teaching her, you know, your beliefs, and she's growing up to be a very strong young lady. I see that.
Thank you. If anybody out there, if you use YouTube, go to, it's called Kania's Lessons. Kania is K-H-A-N-Y-A. Apostrophe as Kania's Lessons. And basically my daughter each week does a lesson about black history or some kind of topic. And she's only 3 years old, but she actually picks her own topics. And I just do a little interview and ask her a bunch of questions, and she gives her answers. And people are really, really enjoying them. So if you get a chance, go to YouTube and check out Kania's Lessons. I think you'll really enjoy them.
Yes. Well, again, thank you so much. I really appreciate you coming on the show. And, you know, you're always a welcome guest. And I do hope to see you and your family in August. I'm really going to try to come up there the 22nd or the 23rd. So I think
we
can have a really good evening.
And you do the same. Thank you so much.
Right. Thank you so much, Irritated Jeannie. Okay, family, I want to thank you for listening, and I love you for listening. Have a wonderful week, a safe and a blessed week, and I'll see you next Wednesday, 8 p.m. to 10 p.m., right here on Blog Talk Radio.
Na, 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 na. Just what to say, to turn it all around and put a smile right on my face.
Yeah.
To me, you are a blessing, and I sure appreciate how you change negative to positive and brighten up my day. And whenever I get weak and lose my will to carry on,
yeah,
I just look at you because you give me the reason to be strong. If it wasn't for you, I just don't know where I would be. So tonight I'm gonna celebrate your love for me. Cause
people like you, oh, make the world go round.
Oh, yes it is.
It's people like you,
oh, oh yeah.
Make the world go round.
Make it go round and round and round. Whenever I was cold, you knew just how to keep me warm.
Yeah.
And you were my shelter in the middle of my storm. And whenever the mountains came crumbling down on
not be based on color. Girl, take my hand. And tonight we're gonna show the whole wide world just how to dance. Go!
A one, two, a one, two. Woo! Let it flow.
Everybody, and get home safe.